Episode 25 of Better Together. We have reached 25 episodes. Thank you to each and every one of you guys. I'm going to have to lower my voice for 2 seconds. Thank you to each and every one of you guys who have been just part of this community and have stuck around. I genuinely appreciate you. And I'd love to talk to you guys in the comment section in this video today and really just give you my thanks and just applaud you guys and just let you guys know you are so loved. I'm so thankful for you guys and for giving me the opportunity to have a voice on this platform. And I'm glad that you've given me the time of day to speak and be a part of your life. And so with that being said, welcome to the podcast. Today's podcast is episode 25. I'm excited about this one. This one, I'm excited because this is another episode where I'm shooting it by myself and I get to just express my thoughts. This is kind of like, to be honest, and I think this is what most YouTubers say. We're always like, oh, dude, YouTube is our therapy because we just talk and talk and talk and talk. And it is. It is somewhat my therapy, but also it gives me the opportunity. And one of the biggest blessings about having this podcast and just being a YouTuber or just working in the social media industry is that this microphone just hit me straight in the face. My bad. One of the biggest blessings about this, what I love about this job is that I also get to find people that are going through the same things as I am. And I get to share life with you guys and be myself. And I'm incredibly grateful that you guys have accepted me for who I am and what I do. And you guys are just so incredibly loving. So shout out to you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much. It's episode 25 and I'm excited. Sorry to my headphone users. My mom, I know I always mention this in every episode. My mom, my dad especially. My dad's like, dude, stop yelling in the microphone. You got to just talk, be yourself. And I'm like, being myself is being loud. I love being loud. And maybe because I wasn't popular in high school. Who knows? We don't know. Hopefully it's not that. Got to talk to my therapist about that. Anyways, so this is what's up. Welcome to the episode. Today, I want to talk about my faith. Why? Because my faith is one of the most important things in my life. I was checking out last week's episode. A lot of people were like, Seb, don't be embarrassed about your faith. Like, feel free to proclaim it and all that stuff. I was like, yeah, dude, I am not embarrassed about my faith. I'm entering a season where I'm actually feel the urge to really just proclaim it and not proclaim it, like be like, hey, you person in the street, follow Jesus. If you don't, you're going to hell. Like, I'm not saying that. That's not my heart. I think what my heart is going through in this season is that when I am able to have intentional conversations, whether it's with friends, strangers, or whoever it is, and we get to that point where we share our vulnerabilities. I can't even say it. When we're being open, what I love about it is that we get to a point in the conversation where we're being open and the only thing I can offer as a solution, and I think that's as men, we always are just trying to look for the solution, but ladies, I feel like you guys know what we're talking about. But for me, my biggest solution in my life, on the good days and the bad days, on the days where I don't even want it to be my solution, but it ends up being it because of his incredible love and grace and mercy over my life, has been Jesus. And he saved me from so many things. And I know, look, I'm not trying to be like all pastoral with you guys at all. I can't help but to proclaim what Jesus has done in my life. And he is someone who is involved in every little detail of my life. From the minute I wake up, I thank him in the morning. I'm like, thank you for sustaining my breath, Lord. To just making my eggs or going on a run. When I'm on my run, I'm like, Jesus, I know you love me. Give me some more energy to move these little legs of mine so I can get ready for this half Ironman that I'm training for right now. What's up? That's a flex and a half. Why do I say these things? I'm so cringe. Anyways, so yeah, I'm doing a half Ironman and all these things. Jesus is just a part of everything. And yeah, like I'm so blessed to have the friends that I have. And I love being an extrovert. I love being an extrovert and being a part of so many communities, but I can't help but not share him through the way I speak or live my life. And I try to do it mostly through the way I live my life because, you know, speaking can only bring you so far. And if you're just constantly just being like, hey, the answer to your problem is Jesus, and their car's just like broken down. It's like, yeah, my car's broken down, sir. I get that Jesus loves me, but like, I just need AAA to pick me up. And so that's all I'm trying to say right now. Yes, I'm proclaiming it. And yes, it's a big part of my life. And yes, I'm going to talk about it because he's part of my whole week. He's part of every day. Besides that, this weekend was crazy. This weekend was crazy. I did a lot of things. I went to grab breakfast and my friend went to sleep and their phone didn't plug in correctly. And so they didn't show up. And it was weird because like, it was so weird because everyone just saw me get stood up and I was like, what the? I was like, oh my gosh, I look like an effing fool. And if they're watching this right now, you know who you are. I love you so much. I love you from the bottom of my heart. You know that this is just games. But it was effing funny because at the restaurant, at this restaurant, so I went to breakfast. I went to go grab breakfast. And at the restaurant, there's this little bench in front of the restaurant. So I'm sitting down and I'm ready and I send a little audio message. I'm like, hey, I'm here. Just letting you know, blah, 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 whatever. Just giving them a heads up. They don't answer. Now in Los Angeles, you know, there's like between a 10 a.m. to 10:10 time where you're given grace to come at that time because, you know, there's traffic and all that stuff. So we know that you're in a rush. We know that you're driving. And we also want safe drivers, so we don't want you to text and drive. So I'm waiting there, and then 10:15 rolls around, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. Maybe they're still, like, driving, and they're very, very stressed out. So I'm going to send another audio message just to say, hey, you're good. Don't drive fast. I want you to be safe, and I want you to come safe and sound in one piece. And so that's what I sent. By 10:20, dude, by 10:20, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go grab myself a little juice while I wait because there's a juice bar across the street. Grabbed myself a little juice. I sat down back at the bench. And here's the funny part. Well, for me, it's funny. There's a patio in front of the restaurant too. So there's like 10 tables of people sitting and eating their breakfast. And they all see me waiting on this bench for my friend to show up. It's so effing funny, dude. I love it. By 10:25, I don't even know what time it is now. By 10:25, 10:30, the guy who plays Shaggy in Scooby-Doo, I'm talking to him. And I'm talking to his like buddy that's like having a meeting with him. And he goes up to me and he's like, hey, is your jet black hair? Is your hair like that black? Like, or do you dye it? I'm like, no, it's natural. I'm South American. That's what's up. My papa gave it to me and my mama because they both have black hair. And so he's like, oh, that's so cool. He's like, and I was like, yeah, I'm never going to dye. He's like, you better not, because that's perfect hair. I was like, well, thank you so much. I try really hard. So that really meant if that's all that made my whole day. Anyways, by 10:35, I'm like, yeah, I think I'm getting stood up. Like, my friend's not showing up. And I thought it was effing funny, dude. Like, I was laughing and I was smiling. But it was also, I look back at it and I'm like, I look like an effing fool in front of everybody. Everyone knows at the restaurant that I got stood up. And so I thought that was effing funny, I guess that's effing funny. But I really genuinely, so the friend calls me at 10:40. I get in my car. I'm like, I'm ready to go. And finally, I get a phone call from them. And they feel incredibly sorry. And genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, if this friend is watching it right now, I genuinely was not mad at all. Like, bottom of my heart, I have so much love and grace and mercy. Because, you know, Jesus Christ. It's so cringe, bro. No, because I would hate to be in that position and feel like someone hates me. And I don't ever want to send anyone hate towards their way or hate towards their heart or hate towards their mind and then make them feel that cross, because I felt that cross. I felt people hate my guts before because of the mistakes that I've made. And I don't think, sorry, I'm about to burp, but I don't think anyone deserves to go through that type of stuff. Like, it's so painful. It's so hard to experience that weight. And so when I say like, hey, you're fine, I genuinely mean it. And I think it's because God's you know, God's got my back and he's protected my heart in so many situations, and I just love him. And that's what I mean in when I say like Jesus has been a part of every aspect of my life. You know, I don't know what would happen if I didn't believe in Jesus in that moment. Maybe I would have been mad. Maybe I would have sent a crazy tweet or gone on Instagram and put him on blast, but that's not the spirit that's within me. And I don't want to be that type of person because I know what Jesus has done on the cross for me. And not just on the cross, but the things that he's taught. He was like, when he was teaching, he was thinking of me. When he was in heaven, he was thinking of me. And he thought of all the pain that I could have gone through. And so he did what he did so I didn't have to experience that weight on myself. And yes, in life, we're always going to feel weight. Like, I know for a fact that there's going to be moments in my life where I make mistakes and I'm going to feel that weight. But at least Jesus is there helping me carry that weight and helping me just be myself and live my life in freedom. And so that's why I think it's so important to forgive and be and just forgive and gladly forgive, you know, gladly forgive because you know what Jesus has done for you. So you want to express that same thing that Jesus has done for you for others. And so to my friend, I don't know if you're watching it or not, but I love you so much from the bottom of my heart. You're totally good. Besides that, that was my weekend. Then I went to watch Venom this week and Venom effing sucked. I'm putting it out there, 4 out of 10. It was the worst movie I've watched in 2021. I'm calling it out, or maybe Dear Evan. No, Dear Evan Hansen was pretty good. But Venom just freaking sucked. And you know what? I know it's not Andy Serkis's fault. I know that it's not Tom Hardy's fault because I know Tom Hardy is a big Venom fan. I know it's the studio's fault. I know that if Andy Serkis came out with his original edit for the movie, with his original cut for the movie would have been 10 times better. But these studios can't help themselves but get their stinky paws on movies that could potentially be the best thing ever. Star Wars. Let's talk about Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 8 effing sucked. It was the first time I ever walked out of a movie theater and I was just like, dude, I can't believe the one thing that's been such a huge part of my life that has given me the opportunity to imagine and live within my imagination has just crushed every part of it because of the studio, of the people that picked that director, Rian Johnson. He's a great director. He just didn't, look, this is where my Christianese comes in, where my Christian character comes in, because if I wasn't Christian, I'd be like, F you, Rian Johnson, F you people who made Sony. But I know, dude, like there's people make mistakes. People make mistakes. And guess what? Rian Johnson, I saw Knives Out, great movie. And guess what? Love him. And he has talent and he's a great director. Andy Serkis, great actor and great director. Sometimes people make mistakes and sometimes things don't turn out the way you want them to be, but it's okay. And you know what? I am so glad I watched Venom because that end credit scene, if you haven't watched it, oh my gosh, am I excited for that end credit scene? Am I excited for the next couple of movies for Venom? Because dude, I'm a Marvel fan. I don't know about you, but I'm a Marvel fan and I'm excited. Well, there is a nerd part of me. Thanks for getting to know me. Anyways, let's get into the word because that's what I want to talk about. And I think it's very important to just share what's going on in my life because I'm a narcissist. No, I'm not. I love people. What the? The cops are here. All right, anyways. So a lot of you guys in the last episode came up to me. You didn't come up to me, but you mentioned the comment section. You're like, Seb, don't be embarrassed about your faith. Like, if you love your faith, talk about your faith. This is my imagination. This is like what I think, how you guys talk. No, dude, I love my faith. My faith is everything. I'm not embarrassed of it. And if anything, in this season, I am so excited to share it and really just hopefully encourage you guys. Because right now in the book of Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians, I'm in the book of 2 Corinthians. And what I love about the book of 2 Corinthians is that Paul is addressing the church of Corinth. And the people of Corinth are going through struggles with their faith because of the immoral culture that is surrounding them. And they're struggling to just face life in general. And I think this story right here and this scenario is a lot of what happens to people like me in my age at 25 and a lot of you guys who are younger or even older than me. I feel like in this point in my life, it's so easy, and maybe not, maybe everybody, I don't know how old you are and you're watching this, but it's so easy to be influenced by culture. It's so easy to be influenced negatively by the things that are surrounding you. And I just want to give you the opportunity to first let you know, hey, I'm on the same journey as you. I might not be on the same journey as you, but I know that I'm on the journey of trying to put Christ at the center of everything that I'm doing. And I know that you're trying to do that. And it is a struggle. We're surrounded by so many distractions. We're surrounded by YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, what's going on in the news, what's going on in our friends' lives. And it's so hard to keep God at the center of all of that. And a lot of the times when these distractions inundate us, we end up feeling like just like we're above water. Like the water is already like above the bottom section of our teeth. And we're like only breathing half of the oxygen that we possibly could. And that struggle is so, it's something I've gone through so many times in my life. And the reason I love this book is because the book starts off in chapter one. Sorry, I have to move my microphone. I don't know where to put it because I know I scream a lot. So I don't want people to be like, all right, this guy's too loud. I'm signing off. I am unsubscribing. Please don't unsubscribe. I love you so much. Anyways, so what I love about this book is that in chapter one, Paul goes on to say, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. I love that verse because it's giving everyone who reads this book the security of saying, hey, I realize that you're going through struggles, but let's celebrate that because there's going to be people in your community, in your walk of life, in your section. I was trying to think of a third thing, but I couldn't think of it. But there's going to be people in your life who are going to be struggling and you possibly could have gone through that struggle already or might be going through the same thing at the same time. And to be able to share those struggles with others and let people know, hey, not only are we struggling together, but we both believe in a God that cares for us and loves us. And we believe that he's going to bring us out of that is such an encouraging message for anyone who reads this. And I'm saying this because, dude, my story is not going to relate to everyone's story. I have a unique story. You have a unique story. Your mom has a unique story. Your dad has a unique story. Your best friend has a unique story. I just go on and on. Your grandma, your sister. Anyways, dude, I gotta stop. But everyone has a unique story. And guess what? My story might not relate to yours, but your story might relate to somebody else in your community. And being able to find the commonality and just be like, hey, I know what you're going through and I love you. And guess what? I'm on this fight. I'm fighting this battle with you is something that really helps a lot of us Christians and a lot of our friends who are not Christians to just move forward in life. Because I think that's the true goodness of life. Like if what life is, when life is good, it's just being able to move forward. I think that's what the real goodness of life is. For us to give the opportunity to allow people to hear, to allow people to give their story, tell the story, and let them know, hey, we're moving forward with you. No matter what the cost is, no matter what the battle is, no matter what you're going through, I'm here for you. That's what gives hope for people. And that's what excites me about this chapter because Paul's already giving hope for the Corinthians, and letting them know, hey, I'm on this battle with you and I'm going to tell you what I've learned from my walk in Christ that hopefully it can help you in your walk of Christ. We're going to focus on verse 21. Verse 21 of chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And 21, sorry, it's fine. Vine just popped up in my head. 21. Okay, it goes on to say, it is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He's commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. And the reason I love this verse is because Paul is kind of just giving us the evidence of saying, hey, this is why you're going to fight and win your battles. This is why you're going to get through your battles. One of the things I've noticed about this passage or this verse is that there's four words that popped out for me in this verse. And the reason why I think it's important to acknowledge this words that pop out on verses is because when you dissect those words and look for their definition, it gives a clearer detail of what God is doing, not only in the verse, but what he could possibly do in your life. And it's funny because even before that, Paul even goes on to say that our letters have been straightforward and that there's nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. Paul is even giving us security as we read the Bible. It's like God doesn't speak between the lines. He speaks directly. So in the first section of this verse, it goes on to say, it is God who enables us. And the word enables, it's like, what does enable mean? Like there's so many different definitions. And so what I found out about enable was that the word enable means to provide with means or opportunity, to make possible or practical. It is God who provides us with the means along with you to stand firm. It's God who helps us stand firm for Christ, for our faith. It's God making it possible and practical and easy for us to stand firm because it's not through our own strength. It's through the strength of God. It's through the strength of the Holy Spirit that we're able to stand firm. That's why in the last episode, when I was talking about when he renews our strength, when God renews our strength, guess what? That strength doesn't come from us. It comes from something greater, and that's God. And that's what enables us to stand. And I think that's why there's an excitement for the gospel or an excitement to proclaim it or share with others, because when people see you thrive in life and they're like, how did you do it? How did you stand through all those temptations? How did you stand through all those trials and tribulations? You point back to God, say, to God, and tell those people, hey, I actually, even though it looked like I was standing, it wasn't on my own effort. It was God that was enabling me to stand there. It was God that was giving me the opportunity, that was providing me for the means to just stand and live through those battles and live through those fights and live through what life was getting at me for. And I love that, dude. So first it goes on to say, it is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ, for he has commissioned us. So what does commission mean? Commission means an act of entrusting or giving authority, a formal written warrant granting the power to perform various acts or duties. You have a certificate from heaven that God has authorized, stamped, and granted you the opportunity to be a voice for his kingdom. God has commissioned us, as in to say, God has looked at you and been like, yo, this person can be a voice for my kingdom. This person is a voice for my kingdom. Not only can, is a voice for my kingdom. And not only is he going to speak, but he can live, he or she can live out what I've placed in their hearts because I trust them and I've enabled them to do this. Does that make sense? Or am I just talking gibberish? So I know I'm reading the verse multiple times, but the reason I'm reading this verse multiple times is because I wanted to dig into your head. Like, take a deep breath right now. Dang, I might have a nostril problems or something, a deviated septum. Anyways, take a deep breath and let this verse sink into you. I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to go on to this next section of the verse. It is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. So later on in the verse, it goes on to say, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. What does the word identify mean? Identify means to establish or indicate who or what is. God has established you as his own. He's not worried about what you've done in the past. He's not embarrassed of who you are now or was or is to be. He claims you as his own because he loves you. Does that make sense? Isn't that crazy? God first enables us to stand firm. He looks at us. He loves us so much that he's like, hey, I'm going to give you the strength to stand firm in these situations of your life, in these trials and tribulations. And while you're doing that, while you're standing, I'm going to grant and authorize you to be a voice for my kingdom because I've identified you as my own, because I love you. I love you so much that I want you to be a voice for my kingdom. And I want you, and I'd want you to not worry, because I'm going to enable you to stand through these trials and tribulations that you're going to go through, that you've been going through, and that it's going to give hope for others. Dude, I hope I'm making sense. But I love this because even when God has identified us as his own, and I mentioned that he loves us, I want to give you the confirmation that God really does genuinely love you. If you back up and look in chapter 1, Paul goes on to say, "For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no." God's love for you isn't yes on one day and no on the other day. God's love for you never changes. Listen to this. God has never changed his opinion on you. No matter where you have been in your walk of life, God has never changed his opinion on you. Let that sink in, dude. On the days where you're like, God, I know you don't want to talk to me because I did that thing. No, that is not true. God, I'm sorry I hurt my friend. I'm sorry I hurt my mom. I shouldn't have done that thing. I'm sorry. I'll talk to you tomorrow when I get my things together. No. God's never changed his opinion on you because he knew that you're going to go through these things. And to back up the fact that God's love has never changed on you, let's go back to Romans 8, 35, verses 35 and then 37 through 39. Paul says here, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Christ identifies you as his own, he establishes his love for you, and nothing can separate you from that." Nothing can separate you from God's love. God has already established his love for you. He has already proclaimed it, and he doesn't waver it. Have you been in past relationships where your best friend or your mom or your dad or cousin, whoever it is, or potential partner or ex-partner that has proclaimed their love for you and said, "Hey, I love you so much. Don't worry, I'll be with you forever. Don't worry, you've done everything and there's nothing that you can do that changes my opinion about you." And then you made that one mistake. Or they did that one mistake. And you guys separated and went on your own ways. Guess what? God's not like that. Just because we make a mistake or you make a mistake doesn't mean God wants us any less. If anything, God wants us more and wants to be in more relationship with us because he wants to mend our hearts in those situations. Sorry, I'm like talking so loud and I'm breathing in like a lot of air. So anyways, you know what I learned recently? God wants to spend forever with me. What do you mean, Seb? What do you mean God wants to spend forever with me? Because this life right here is temporary. This vessel, my body, it's a vessel. It's what I am. It's what I'm currently in right now. But the energy that I'm expressing to you, everything that's a part of me, my emotions, everything, that's all energy. That is my soul. And my soul is everlasting. And it's going to last for eternity because that's one of God's promises for me. And guess what? God created me because he wanted to be forever with me. Let that sink in. God thought of you, and then he said, that person, sounds amazing. That person sounds lovely. That person is going to be someone who's going to impact my kingdom on earth. That person is going to change their communities, change their families. They're going to change legacies within family. I know I've said this like multiple times, but let that sink in. God loved you from the minute he thought about you. The minute you came up in his head, he said, oh my gosh, I love that thought. And not only did he love the thought, but he wanted the thought to become something so that he could spend the rest of his life with you. That's why I guess in marriage, that's why they'd say till death do us part, because not even I know for a fact I'm going to get in fights with my future wife or my future girlfriend, whoever it is. And we're going to hate each other, but we're going to fight and still love each other and strive for that love. But guess what? God loves me and he's never going to separate from me and he's never going to separate from you. God created you because he wanted you. He loved the idea of you and he wants to be with you forever. That's how loved you are. That there's not one moment where God thinks, I'm tired of you. There's not one moment where God thinks, we've had a good ride, but I'm on to new and better people. That's not who God's character is. And I hope you can really just allow that to become your truth. God wants to be a part of your life, your everyday life. He doesn't just want to be your roommate. He is mesmerized by every thought you have. Nothing about you can scare away God. Your struggles, your mistakes, your past. God's not afraid of any of that. Seb, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the pain that I've caused. You don't know the blasphemy I experienced and caused towards Jesus. You don't know my past. Can I tell you something? I'll be vulnerable with you. When I was in high school and in college, by the end of high school and college, I hated God so much. I hated him. Capital H. I mean that. I'm being dead serious. I had a cross in my room. Because, you know, I was raised Catholic, and so we had a cross in our room, in like every room. I guess that's typical Catholic, but I had a cross in my room, and I grabbed that cross, and I would slam it on the ground or throw it in my drawer and be like, I don't even want to see the face of you. I can't stand the face of you. I don't want to look at you. I want nothing about you to be a part of my life. And look at me now. That's how great God's love is. He knew I was going to do those things. He knew I was going to tell him to get out of my life. But guess what? He was still standing at the door. He might have been sitting at the stoop, laying his back on the door of my heart, just waiting for me to open it again. But that's how far. I wish I could give you a crazier example, just to show you how far God's love is. But this is me personally. Like, that's what God has done in my life. That even when I didn't want him, he still wanted me. And he still loved me. And he knew that. He knew everything about me. So I guess why he wants to place the Holy Spirit in our hearts, because in the verse later on it says, it is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as our own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us. I guess why God wanted to place the Holy Spirit in our hearts in this verse is because on the days where we can't love ourselves and we know the most wicked part of ourselves, the places where we don't even want to share with our best friends or our family members, on the days where we can't even pick ourselves up or pick up the pieces and mend them together. He wants to be there taking care of us so that we know we're not alone, that we're not going to be ignored as we sit in the dust and the dirt, but rather picked up, embraced, and loved. Jesus loves you. And I don't know if this is the first time you've listened, heard me talk about Jesus, or the billionth time that you've heard me talk about Jesus. God loves me. You are one of his sheep. You are part of his family. There was never a moment where he kicked you out of the family. There was never a moment where he kicked you out of the family. He's there waiting for you with open arms, ready to embrace you. No matter how you look, no matter where you are, he's there. Alrighty then. So with that being said, that's episode 25. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to me. I appreciate that. I love you guys from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey and being so loving and kind. We have hit 25 episodes. I'm so excited about that. Please pray for me. If there's a couple things that I could pray for, I'm going to pray for you actually. And I'm going to pray for myself right now, or ask for prayer. I'm running a half Ironman on October 30th. I'm struggling with swimming and I need help with that. I'm not struggling. I don't want to say believe that I'm struggling, but it's hard. It's not hard. It's easy. Whoa. I just burped again. I don't even drink soda. Okay. Sorry. All right. Anyways, I have a race on October 30th. I'd really appreciate the prayers for that, for me to just push through and survive the training and be ready. And yeah, I guess that's the only prayer I'm asking for right now. Also to be madly in love with Jesus, to keep on being madly in love with Jesus and being able to stay consistent with this thing. I want to be consistent with these episodes. I want to be here next week and be there for you and create fun episodes where you guys feel at home. With that being said, I'm ending this in prayer. Bow your heads. I don't know. Effing wherever you are, don't bow your head if you're driving. If you're at Disney and you're listening to this, what's up? Why did I think of Disney? Probably because I'm going tomorrow. Okay, anyways. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the people that are listening to this podcast. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for just giving me the opportunity to just speak with them and be myself. I thank you for these people that have allowed me to be myself. And I hope that whoever they meet in their walk of life, that the people that interact with them get to experience that same acceptance that they offer to me. So Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for these people. I thank you for everything that you've done. And I just pray that these people get to experience your love, that they are reminded that they have never been kicked out of your family, that they have been there since day one because you created them and you love them. And the idea of them just excites you, Lord. The idea of them just excites you. And you can't wait to pour your blessings and your promises over them. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first time I pray on a podcast. So thanks for listening. I'm sweating because my AC is off. But anyways, I love you guys. Also, I don't know. I just want to mention, Lainey just popped in my head. I love Lainey, and I can't wait to listen to Lainey music right now because Lainey's one of my favorite bands along with AC/DC. AC/DC and Lainey, two top favorite bands if you wanted to know that about myself. All right. Peace out. Ah! I hit my ankle. Not my ankle. My Achilles. My Achilles, whatever it's called. All right, anyways, guys. Have a great week. I love you guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Peace out.